Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 21. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
It says the white throne showed up and that passed away. Just his presence. It fled from his presence. Why? Defilement everywhere. Life and all that history is gone. It's eradicated. It's done away with. Why? Because there will be no more problem to be dealt with anymore. Because all of those dispensations had had their moment. Man was proven to be flawed in his core with a sin nature after the fall. And as that unfolded all throughout history, God said, I've given you every answer to every question you could possibly imagine. Listen. There are billions of people who are on this earth right now, and every one of them represents its own universe. And many of them are going to be saved, and they're going to give their story for eternity. What if you were born in a poor place? What if you were born with a certain culture? What if you were born in a certain place and time in the world? What if you were born in adversity, in opulence? What if you were born? What? Every question will be answered by someone somewhere. I remember hearing the story about a little girl who was kidnapped at about age 3. She was taken into the woods. And she was beaten for a little while, and then they tied her to a tree and left her to die. And then these monkeys found her, and they began to bring her food. And eventually they played around with her straps, got her loose, and she didn't even know how to talk. And this is a true story. And as the time went on, she actually became able to do the things they did as far as jumping around, and she was kind of mimicking them because that's all she knew. And there's a book out there called The Girl with No Name, and it's all about her story. And I'm telling you, what ends up happening is she ends up getting found and she has to be retrained a lot of ways. But she didn't even have a name. But she has a story, doesn't she? Her story, if she's a believer now, and I think she is, her story is one that will be told. What would happen if this? What would happen if that? See, you and I are just our own story. And you're going to be telling yours forever. Everything you've had to confront, everything you've had to deal with, everything you've had to learn from, you're going to see it so clearly. You're going to see how everything really worked. Because your brain, your mind, your heart, everything will be completed and full. And you'll be able to see it and look at it, and it won't hurt anymore because God's going to do away with all that. And you're going to understand that it was all to the glory of God. All of it. And we look back and we say, oh, okay, I see what you were doing. And we are able to embrace His hand even more than we ever have before. The Bible says in verse 2, it says, and I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, all those things that we were talking about the tabernacle was a pattern. This New Jerusalem coming down from heaven is something other than a city, a natural city on the earth. It's just something different. It's separate. Okay, you got new heaven, new earth, and yet you have this city. The Bible says of this city that it is adorned as for her husband. And when you parse that for a minute, there's some things there that we need to pull out of it. First of all, you need to realize that the bride in the various pictures in the scriptures is always very important and very special. If you were to go back to John the Baptist, when he was being challenged on some things, he was asked about his relationship and how doesn't it bother you was kind of the implication that Jesus is really doing good and your crowd's kind of thinning out. Remember, he says, listen, he that has the bride is the bridegroom. Remember that? It's just a beautiful picture. John just said it offhandedly. He understood it. How did he understand? He spent all his time with God. God let him know things even the Old Testament prophets didn't know. They wanted to know. John knew. He says, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He was so happy to be the best man to discharge his responsibility, which is what the friend of the bridegroom is meaning. It means he's the best man. And he was happy that Jesus was getting all the attention and that the bride was his. And now he could go on his way, whatever way the Father would intend for him to go. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, I'm jealous over you, Corinthians, with a godly jealousy. Why? Because I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ.
Think about these pictures. This is the bride. We live in a day of feminism. We live in a day of blending of the sexes, and that there's things that you just don't even want to be anymore. People who are female, they're being kind of pressed into a mold somehow to be more masculine and be more like a man. The superhero movies have women that are throwing around men that are twice their size, as if they can throw them around like a rag doll. They would hit those guys many times, and that'd just be the end of it. They'd break their wrist. Their bones aren't even as strong. One guy hits a girl, she just takes it on the chin, snaps back like a guy, and goes. This is a deception. It's a deception. Now, if it's a deception and you pull it out, what do you got left? Well, not much, because women today that grew up in this generation don't really have a clear word on necessarily what it means to be a woman. Well, this gives us one. Did you see what it said? It says she was as adorned as a bride. You know, God made women as the fairer sex. They are to be embracing the fact of their beauty. But their beauty has to be for their husband. Their beauty has to be for their husband and for the Lord. And when it talks about really the truest beauty in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says that the adorning should not be merely the outward adorning, but mostly it should be the hidden man of the heart, that holiness, that godliness, that love. But you know, one of the things that is amazing is that when women really understand who they are, they realize that they really do impact the world. You see it here. God makes much of the bride. You know, we had the great whore in chapter 17, right? All the licentiousness over here. Well, this is the bride. And the bride is called beautiful. In Psalm 45, the Bible says God will desire your beauty in the court of the king. He wants you there. He wants you right there. And he wants your beauty there. And what I'm saying is don't ever stop appreciating what God created in you. Your smile, your softness, your sensitivities. Be a woman. Be feminine. We need you to be. I was at the hospital yesterday. And when I was there, I got to an elevator. And there was this nurse there with a thing to push into the elevator. And she says, go ahead. She's probably about 25, maybe 30. She's a young lady. And I said, no. You go ahead. You go right ahead. And she's like laughing like this is silly. It wasn't silly. Let me tell you why it wasn't silly. It wasn't silly because men need women so they will be better men. It was not good for man to be alone. And when men have women who make men sit up straight, you ladies have no idea how powerful you are in our lives. But when you're being sweet and you're being what women are, which makes us humble because we're like, I wish I would be more gentle to other people because you're gentle. You know, that kind of thing. Men are brusque and brutish sometimes. But when women are women and ladies and they basically make men sit up straight, it's good for society. Right now, women across America are standing up and they're fighting for their babies. They're fighting for their kids because the world's trying to get shots in their arms and they're trying to take their kids from them. Okay, suddenly all the women are saying, Suddenly the mother instinct is coming back rather than, I've got to go to work. I've got to drop them off. I've got to get away. And what's happening is we're all being brought up short right now. And everybody's remembering who they are a little bit. We're waking up a little bit. And what I'm saying to you at this junction and in this time, do not dismiss your beauty. Don't ever go out without your hair combed and your face on and all the things you do to make the world a better place. If there were not women in the homeland, men would say, I don't care. And they would go somewhere else. They'd go up in the woods. They hide out. They don't need the drama. But they're fighting for you. And you got to let them. And you got to encourage them. Sometimes you know it. You just got to encourage them. Stand up and be the man. Because you don't have the strength to do what they are doing. You want them to do it so that your kids will be good. Your society will be preserved. And what has happened is in this generation, and you know it's true, men don't know what to do with themselves. Because they don't feel manly. Because women can do everything they can do. Because we've got all the push buttons and the automation. Men sometimes come to a place where they won't marry. Because all the confines of morality are out of control. And men are kind of finding themselves on the ropes. So I say to you that this is a picture of what God said it was supposed to be like. It's still supposed to be like this in the end. She's adorned as a bride for her husband. And there's a beauty about that. I have espoused you to one husband, Corinthians says, Galatians says, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Jesus is motivated in many ways to have gotten to you and to me. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, it says, "We are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels." It's always been there. It's there now. The heavenly Jerusalem's in the heavens. It's just going to come down when the new heaven and the new earth are prepared to receive it. You know, Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." We're the bride. So he's talking to. He went to prepare a place for us, and he's going to come again and get us and receive him unto himself. 7-year tribulation. 1,000-year wedding feast. It's going to be a party for 1,000 years, which is kind of the reception where everybody gets to rejoice and a lot of neat things happen, a lot of festivities, a lot of opportunities. And then a new heaven and a new earth. And then the bride will come into the room, as it were, in the new heaven and the new earth, as above the earth, and everybody will see, and it'll be a beautiful thing. I just want you to see that what he's showing us, three things: new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. Very important. When you understand that Jerusalem has a couple of things that it means, I'm going to pick this back up in a minute. The name, it means some things that I think you'll find interesting. But before I get to that, because he's going to amplify it down a little bit further into the passage, and I'll do it then. But verse 3 says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." This is a restoration of what was lost in the Garden of Eden. You recall that when Adam was there and Eve were there, God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. He had direct access. And after they sinned, what happened? They found they were naked. What happened? The Shekinah glory left them. You remember in Isaiah 6 where there were seraphim. The seraphim were the burning ones. That's what their name means. They're angels, but they are burning angels. They're like on fire. They're like, you know, you can just see them sitting there idling, like almost like a sulfur in the front of a flare on the side of the road. That's just like, ooh, man, these things are amazing. And they're there to do. They had to cover their faces, even the angels, cover their faces, cover their feet, couldn't stand in his presence. And with two wings, they would fly. And we're told that when Moses came down out of the mountain after getting the tablets, and his face shone. Okay, what I'm trying to show you, even as Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, there's a powerful connection to when we're in God's presence, in that manifest presence throughout the scriptures. We see it, and this angelic glory glow is there. And what God is doing is he's restoring it. He says he's going to be with them. In chapter 22, he says they will see his face. His face. They're going to look at his face. That's new. Man, I'm talking about up close and personal here. And when we see the 24 elders sitting around the throne, and they're just falling on their faces in awe, and then shown the door as they go out, and the next 24 come in for 1,000 years, just basking in his awesomeness. I'm telling you, we are honored. We are the bride. We, you, in this room who know Jesus, you are awesome. That's just what you are. You are loved, and God would have you to know that. The Bible says that she comes, this new Jerusalem comes, and it says the declaration is made, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." Now, the fact that it's called a tabernacle and not a temple is important. It means that this is a movable tabernacle. And what we're seeing as we go through the rest of the chapter is we begin to see that what God does is he makes this celestial city a satellite city. It's 1,500 miles square. 1,500 miles. That's further, I believe, than going to Florida, driving from here to Florida. How far is that? About 900 miles or something like that? So 1,500 miles, if it's 1,000 miles, it's 1,000. But 1,500 miles square. And it's going to be above the earth. And it's going to be, listen, it's going to be where you and I live. Okay, that's our home. What's this whole thing about the new heavens and the new earth? The city, well, this is where we live. And you'll see it here as we unfold it. This is our home. This is where the saints that were raptured live. This is our home. We're the bride.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.